Yesterday, my dears, Sydney hosted the inaugural Australia PNG Emerging Leaders Dialogue at the Lowy Institute. The aim of the dialogue, which will be held annually, is to enhance and promote links between new generation leaders in Australia and PNG. Two of the delegates from there are with me now in the Sydney studio. Serena Sumanup is the Executive Director of The Voice Inc. It's a youth development organisation based in Moresby, and Serena was one of the facilitators at yesterday's dialogue. And we welcome as a physical presence in the studio someone who's just been a voice in my headphones in the past, Denny Takunai, and Denny's PNG's leading political blogger and managing director of TGD Consulting. Welcome both of you to our little wireless program. Serena, I think you're not at all happy with the level of, ignorance, disinformation that young Australians have about PNG.
I don't know whether it's fair to say all young Australians, because I've met a great number that have a lot of, not maybe knowledge, but a lot of passion, I think, for Papua New Guinea. And I think just more in general, the sentiments that I hear from others that, you know, a lot of people in Australia do not know much about Papua New Guinea, and, you know, this is, but PNG is Australia's closest neighbour. And I think that there is a lot more that can be done.
Our media is not doing a great job, is it?
Yeah, and I mean, people's awareness will be, you know, controlled by that. I mean, I think that there's a lot more that can be done, even just outside media as well, like in terms of programs that can promote more of this. And actually, there already are a lot of programs that are promoting PNG and the links and stuff. But a lot of that's not captured in the media, and I think that's the problem.
You're particularly interested in what you call equal partnerships. But before we get on to that, just tell us a little about The Voice Inc., your outfit.
So The Voice Inc. is an organization that I helped start when I was in my third year of law studies at the University of PNG. Right now, it's grown, and the vision's grown to become a youth development organization in the country. It's quite unique. It's totally homegrown. We run all the programs ourselves. We design it, and we partner with our leading state universities to run leadership programs. We feel there's a huge space that's missing in terms of the next generation of leaders in our country. And a lot of the leaders are the ones that are in these institutions that will be later placed in places of decision making, but they need to be equipped first of all with a sense of purpose, because if you do not have a sense of purpose for your life, how can you then lead a nation or even lead a community? We help them build that sense of purpose, find confidence in themselves, in their skills, and then connect them to avenues where they can contribute back to their communities.
Okay, back to equal partnerships. Are they possible? Are they feasible between David and Goliath, between PNG and Australia?
Yeah, well, actually, I mentioned that in the dialogue, because it brought across 10 young people from Australia and 10 young leaders from PNG. And one of the things that I did say was that we have to acknowledge that as much as this is a dialogue, basically where Australia and PNG stand, things aren't very equal. But not in a sense that we are equal in terms of nations, but in terms of the current relationship, you know, we have to acknowledge that one is the donor, another is the recipient.
Serena, what would Australians get out of going to PNG on exchanges?
I think PNG has a lot to offer to the world at this point in time. We have very rich biodiversity, but apart from that, our culture is just amazing and so rich. Like, I can say that I still have huge connections back to my village. I've lived in different parts of the world, but I actually have a village. I have a connection to my land and to my people. And I think so much of that is lost in our cities, and you don't get to experience that. And I think that PNG has so much to offer in terms of community connections and even just tribal life. Like, we have something that is so unique.
Long, long before you were born, I became addicted to the art of the Sepik River.
I'm from the Sepik.
One area in the world producing this immense amount of dazzling carving.
Are you kidding? It's absolutely beautiful.
I think it's one of the richest places ever.
Yes, I could not agree more with you in terms of the richness of, I mean, and even how that links to cultural traditions that are, you know, they're thousands of years old. This is not some kind of 100, 200. We learn a lot of history, and we start history by, you know, saying, you know, before AD and BC, and that's like, what, 2,000 years ago. PNG can offer you 50,000 years ago. Like, it's an amazing country, and I'm immensely proud.
In a strange way, being so intensely and densely tropical helps keep the culture going because everything rots so quickly. So it's necessary to do it all again.
And in terms of our geographical, like, terrain, like, it's so mountainous, even just trying to connect everyone to the cities and stuff. And I think that that's been a blessing as well, because we still have very, very unique communities that are evolving and that are not so reliant on government, and I mean, the lack of government support. So you can actually just capture so much of this, like, very rich civilization.
I think you're my first guest from the CPIC ever.
Thank you. I'm very
terrific.
Happy.
Now, Jenny, what are your ideas about how Australia and PNG could work together better?
I think there's a wide range of areas which, you know, improvement can be achieved within. And I think, first of all, we have to recognise that obviously there is a very close relationship, not just geographically, but also of the fact that we were once a colony of Australia and a territory, and all of I guess the historical matter that goes with that. And it's important to recognise that we are slowly losing that proximity of knowledge, largely thanks to a lot of the senior population of Australia who grew up or had a chunk of their lives experience in Papua New Guinea, either by visiting or working there, and we're losing that. And the worrying thing is that there's nothing replacing that from the Australian perspective.
The last time you were on the program, we were looking at Australia's PNG solution, so-called, for asylum seekers. Is that a case of neo-colonialism?
It depends who you talk to. Some will argue that it is a case of neo-colonialism. I view it more as a agreement which was signed bilaterally between two governments, independent of each other, and viewed also from the perspective that we think of Australia as a friend, and no doubt Australia thinks of Papua New Guinea as a friend, and Australia has helped Papua New Guinea out numerous times in the past, and no doubt in the future. And although this is a problem which is an issue which generally much is predominant within the Australian public discourse, Papua New Guinea can do its fair bit to help address those concerns.
There's a new concern that's raging around the region, and that is spying on each other, or rather Australia spying on our friends and neighbours. This has come up, of course. Mr. O'Neill has weighed into the spy scandal, and he summoned the Australian High Commissioner to PNG to provide an explanation. Is this news in PNG?
It is news. It actually was made the PNG, the national newspaper, last week Friday. Now, I'm not entirely sure whether or not Mr. Deborah Stokes, who is the Australian High Commissioner to Papua New Guinea, was indeed called in to see Peter O'Neill. The reports suggest that she was to be summoned. I can't confirm that. But I would not be surprised if that was the case, because the allegations of spying in PNG, obviously off the heat that Australia is now flaking from the Indonesia connection, has, I guess, provided a bit of an oomph for Peter O'Neill to act on those allegations.
Before I go back to Sarita Denny, Julie Bishop announced last night at a reception for the Emerging Leaders Dialogue that PNG will be invited to be a part of the Australian government's new Colombo plan. Good thing?
Brilliant. Absolutely. I think, you know, the key reason why it's a positive thing is that it gives PNG the chance to grow relationships with young Australians. Now, there's a caveat there, and Julie Bishop did mention that it would first be trialled with Hong Kong, Malaysia, and two other Asian countries before the model would be fixed out and then rolled out to Papua New Guinea. But I am very confident that if the Colombo plan was rolled out to include Papua New Guinea, that the outcomes of that, particularly in terms of young people-to-people partnerships and relationships, would be a positive thing for both Australia and PNG.
Do you smile upon this, Serena?
Well, Philip, I want to just first say that it's important to acknowledge that there are already things being done in this area. The organization that I work for, we partner with an organization called the Oak Tree Foundation. Now, what I love about that organization is that they raise millions of dollars to help with projects in this region specific. And this is all done by young Australians below the age of 26. But when they've come across The Voice and our partnership, we do not receive any funding from them. So already they view us as equal partners because we're able to share our ideas about development and where we want to see this region go. And we've started that conversation already. We've already had mentoring and people going across and volunteering in both our organizations across our country. So it's important to also recognize that there are things happening. How can we build on the strengths of those? I think that's what...
Denny, investment in PNG, where's it coming from?
Predominantly from Australia, Australian companies, the extractive resource sector, behind that, a couple of markets in Asia, particularly Singapore, and also we've seen a trickle in down effect now from Chinese investors, predominantly from Australia.
But that raises the issue of Neil's recent borrowing from China to build, quote, much-needed infrastructure. Any problems with that?
At the moment, there's been very little information publicly released from the central government in terms of the borrowing. So about this time last year, there was an announcement made by Pete O'Neill that he was seeking up to a 6 billion kina loan from China's Export-Import Bank. To date, we've probably realistically only seen about 600 million of that 6 billion, which has been actually borrowed. But the details of that transaction and whether or not there exist others has yet to be publicly released. So obviously borrowing is a risk. We borrow in debt to finance infrastructure that we take on a risk of affordability, of economic shock and that sort of thing.
Serena, a comment on this area?
I mean, I think for me, whilst I think that it is important that our government is looking at trying to build infrastructure, I think that it is also important to acknowledge that in terms of safety standards, if you are getting from the Chinese as well, it is just important that, you know, major contractors actually also meet those standards. And I know that there have been problems in that area, and it's really important to acknowledge that.
I would suspect, Serena, that if you and I went wandering around Harris Street and approached young people, that perhaps 1 in 100 would be interested in things like overseas borrowing and budget deficits and investments.
Right.
Is there much interest amongst the young people you work with in these areas?
The young people I work with from PNG or from Australia?
From PNG.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least I know that young people that are in institutions and that had the chance to contribute and are not worrying about their survival are very much interested in how they can see this country get off the ground, our country, and they're very concerned about issues because it will affect them. So I think that the more people are actually engaged in the economy, there will grow greater interest, but there is definitely interest.
What are the odds for a young person somewhere in the CPIC getting a university education in your country?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously there are huge challenges with respect to young people in centres outside the urban centres, obviously. And chances are not that high, but we've seen like amazing stories of resilience from these communities and young people that have been able to excel like greatly despite their location. And I think that is the strength of our people, but it can't continue to happen that way because we have to increase opportunities.
Denny, social media, we've talked about this briefly in the past, but how vibrant is it in PNG?
It's vibrant, and the role of social media will only increase in the future. And I think the key driver for that is, as some of you listeners may know, is that at the moment, internet penetration in PNG is very low. It's about 3.5% of the entire population. And the response to that via social media forums has been massive. So with the growth of the opening up of the telecommunications industry and the cheapening of using those ICT technologies, social media, and not just social media, but the internet, the importance of the internet in transforming and sharing knowledge will ever only increase.
One suspects, Denny, that social media uptake is very high amongst the sort of young people that Serena is working with.
That's right. There are a few statistics out there from a number of research groups based outside of Papua New Guinea who do analyze segments of internet use from around the world. And we do know that the highest growth segment in PNG in terms of internet usage and social media usage is the segment 24 to 35.
Serena, leaving aside politics for just a moment, or at least what we would accept to be politics, what are the cultural interests amongst the young people you're working with in terms of international Western culture? Music, movies.
I mean, you know, Moresby, it's so funny when people come across to Port Moresby for the first time, they go, oh, wow, you guys actually have good roads. And I'm like, well, yes, it's a city. And they ask, what are the things you're interested in? And you know, the young people talk to them about Glee. They talk to them about, you know, music and the latest artists. And they go, well, you're not too much, like, different from, like, what we're interested in. And I think that's a really important point to take note of in terms of...
So on the one hand, you want cultural autonomy. On the one hand, you want a strong sense of identity. But on the other, you recognise the paradox that young people in Australia are absolutely drowning in what is primarily US culture.
Yeah, well, I mean, absolutely. And that's just because that's all people have been exposed to. And in our programs, we try to get that connection back by understanding your identity. And identity doesn't mean that everyone needs to be in grass skirts and to go back there, but it's what are the values that made us unique. And I think that is very much embedded already in the people that we are. And everything else is just, we're part of the global, you know, community, and that's not going to go, so.
So, Denny, it's possible to juggle completely different or parallel universes.
I think in Papua New Guinea, Papua New Guinea has always been an interesting case. We're a very interesting country, very diverse. And at the moment, the rate of development in our urban centres is increasing. Obviously, there's social challenges as a result of that. But we're very resilient people, as Serena mentioned, and we are very adaptable people. I think those are two of our greatest strengths.
Serena, what about environmental concerns? How plugged in is the generation you're dealing with?
In terms of environmental issues, I mean, the people that I deal with, and of course I deal with them because that's my background. I've grown up in the cities. People are aware of the environment and issues. Unfortunately, look, we're not as exposed because costs of actually traveling and really understanding things, and especially the media, unless you actually even come from a family as well who actually talk about issues, you will be aware. People just generally, we talk about things like climate change. They don't really understand it unless you've read about it or you've been in it. But it's not something that's, how would I say, very real for them, again, because, you know, they don't come from some of those communities. Whereas it is a very real issue. What we do in our programs is actually take young people out as well and actually see it for themselves, understand it, because these are people that will be in places of decision making. But the environment, I think, is going to be, I mean, it is the biggest issue for us. And how do we protect that? Because 80% of our people live in rural areas. And right now, our development model, we're investing so much in resource projects that is destroying the environment. So
That's why I raised the issue.
Absolutely.
It's the same right across the region, isn't it? Whether you're in East Timor or the Solomon Islands. Okay, Denny, the PNG budget has been handed down recently, and the government anticipates growth of 6.2% next year. That's pretty good. Much of it coming from revenue from the liquid gas project. How much Arab investment is there in it?
It's a good question, and I don't know the exact figure, but I think there's an increase. There certainly has been an increase in Arab interest in Papua New Guinea, and we have seen small amounts of Arab investment following that interest. For example, a good example would be a company called Red Sea Constructions, who are from Saudi Arabia, and we actually won a tender contract with the Australian government in terms of helping build the Manus detention centre for asylum seekers. So Arab investors are in PNG, and as any other business people, they have a right to be in PNG and looking for interests.
The erudite views of two of Papua New Guinea's emerging leaders, Serena Samanup, Executive Director of The Voice, Inc., and Denny Tokonai, who is Papua's or PNG's leading political blogger and managing editor of TGD Consulting. We will stay in touch, Serena and Denny, as the months and years pass. Thanks for your contribution.
Thank you.